The scripture today is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61 and verses 1 to 7. And I'm reading from the Message translation. Isaiah 61, 1 to 7. Announce freedom to all captives. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and a comfort to all who mourn. To care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, to give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness planted by God to display his glory. They'll rebuild the old ruins, raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over the ruined cities, take the rubble left behind and make it new. You'll hire outsiders to herd your flocks and foreigners to work your fields. But you will have the title priests of God, honoured as ministers of our God. You'll feast on the bounty of nations. You'll bask in their glory because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt. Your inheritance in the land will be doubled. And your joy go on forever.
Thanks, Barry. Frank's going to come and speak to us now.
Morning. Okay, it's good to be back. I've been away with work 2.5 weeks, and I haven't been to church here since 18th of December. So I felt like a visiting speaker today. Good to be back. I actually got some testimonies about being away, but I'm going to save those to another week. So before we start, I'm just going to pray quickly. So, thank you, Lord, for this message that you've given me to share today, Lord. I really pray that everyone have open hearts to hear what's said and receive something from that, and from it become closer to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So first, public health warning. Holy Spirit may be touching you today in areas. So be prepared to listen from God and to respond later in the service. Okay. All right. My topic this morning is walking with God. So, God is looking for a walking partner. From the very beginning, God has had a relationship with Adam and Eve, walking in the garden. God created man for the enjoyment of a walking relationship that involved companionship, dialogue, intimacy, joint decision-making, mutual delight, and shared dominion. God longs to walk with you, which is why his arms of grace have been pulling you closer into a walk with him. When you walk alongside someone, it also deepens your friendship. Jesus went on these kind of walks with his disciples, and he still likes to walk with us this way today. God wants to walk through everyday lives, and the goal is an everyday walk of unbroken communion with our Lord and friend. So, it's chopped off a bit on the right. But greatest commandment, so Mark 12, 30-31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second is love your neighbour as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. So, this morning, primarily, I'm going to be focusing on love God and loving yourself. So these are the two areas that I'll be talking through. So talking through walking. Who knows the story about footprints? Anyone doesn't know the story about footprints? Okay. So the footprint story was a very short story about, I'll read it. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me, one belonging to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This troubled me, and I asked the Lord, Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed at the saddest times and most troublesome times, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, why would you leave me? He whispered, my precious child, I love you. I will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testing, you only saw one set of footprints. It was then I carried you. Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say about walking? Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have I gone too far? No. Okay, I've got a page wrong. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Leviticus 26, verse 12. I will always walk amongst you, and be your God, and you should be my people. John 8. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Galatians, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of flesh. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Genesis. These are the records of generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. And some other verses. So lots of examples in the Bible about walking. What's your walk like with God today? How close is your walk today? How long have you been walking with God? Just some questions to pose here and think about. How long have you been walking with God? Do you desire a closer walk with God in your relationship? Can you be honest during your walk with God and talk to him about the things you struggle with through your walk? I've got now a few pictures of different kind of paths and walks, and I want you to take a look at them. And see which one speaks to you and where you are now in your life, in your walk with God. And I've got a few comments to say as we go through. Okay. So here's the first one. I believe in China. And this is a walk against someone building a path against the side of the cliff. So some words on this. Scary. Having to concentrate hard on each step. Not able to enjoy the view, focusing on the steps. Having to build the path. How long do I have to walk this difficult path? I long for firm, safe ground so I can relax. Okay, that's the first one. Next one is another path along a cliff in China. How safe is it? Can I walk it? Will it be worth it? Is this the way I should go? I sure hope it will be worth it. Very tricky path, but with some support to hold on to at the top. How about this one? Does this one resonate with anyone? A desert. Which way do I go? There's no clear path. It does look like a hard walk. Lots of ups and downs across the landscape. How will I keep my sense of direction to get to the other side? I can actually relate to most of these pictures of my Christian walk so far, at different stages. How about this one? Tightrope. Way outside my comfort zone. Can I do this? Fear. Adrenaline. Taking a risk. Safety line. But this doesn't seem to give me much comfort. This one, a cliff climber. Sometimes I feel like I'm stuck. I know there'll be an amazing view from the top, but I can't see the top. I'm not sure I'll make it. Where do I put my feet next on the climb? I can't find anything to hold on to. I know I'm not alone, but I feel like I am. Next one, a maze. Feels like I'm going round in circles. Will I ever find my way out? When I'm in this maze, I can't see the big picture and I don't know which route to take. There are no signs. Each path looks so similar. Should I keep going or should I just give up? It feels too hard and I'm tired. Green path. Is this the correct way? It doesn't look like anyone else has walked this way for a long time. I can't see an end to the overgrowth. It feels like it's closing in on me. It's exciting to explore, but I don't know what's coming next. Steep road. Very tiring road to walk up. Takes a lot of effort. Is there an easier way to get where I'm going? It's easier to actually walk down this hill than climb it. Okay, that's just some pictures to there you think where you are with your Christian walk and if there's anything in there which speaks to you. The next slide I've got is there's an assault course called Tough Mudder. Anyone heard of Tough Mudder? Okay, so Tough Mudder is usually run over 10 to 12 miles and it's full of mud and obstacles, and there's a lot of people who love doing this kind of activity. It's not a race, it's just it's an assault course to get to the end of the assault course. So it's not timed. And it says here, we are 10 to 12 miles of mud and obstacles built to test your mental grit, camaraderie and all-round physical fitness. We are a team-oriented challenge with no winner, no finisher medal, no clock to race against, just an ice-cold drink and a few good scrapes from a day spent outside. This one speaks to me, I think, as a Christian life, of we're all there to support each other. So it's about us getting through the obstacle of life and being able to help and support each other. And you look at these guys here, you look at the wall they need to scale and everyone along the top who's there willing to help to get them through. Is that your Christian life? Are you supporting others? Are you helping others with their walk? When you become a Christian, God washes you clean, and there's an amazing feeling of being fully in God. But in life, things come along the way and try to pull us off that path. I've got a scripture there: create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me. Howard, we're a bit chopped off here. I don't know whether we... No, no. Okay. So, in your Christian life, also, what's the difference of being convicted or condemned? Anyone?
God convicts, the devil condemns.
Very good. God convicts, the devil condemns. So, when we've done wrong, God wants us to receive healing and to admit it, ask him for forgiveness, and then to get back on the pathway of peace. John 1 verse 19, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Guilt is an emotion that God has given us to know when we've stepped off the pathway of peace. And then I think Stephen's seen my slides, so the first one. What's the difference between conviction and condemnation? Conviction is from God. Condemnation is from Satan. Conviction leads to life. When God convicts you, it leads to you having life in its fullness. Condemnation from Satan leads you to despair. Conviction ends in joy. The ultimate result of being convicted by God ends in joy. Condemnation, it puts you further in sorrow. Conviction makes us want to change, but the condemnation side makes us think we can't. I know I feel like this often, but I need to understand that from God's conviction, it makes me want to change. Conviction leads to a new identity in Christ. Condemnation leads to being stuck in the old identity. I can never change. Conviction brings specific awareness of the sin. And on a condemnation, it brings vague uncertainty of the sin. Conviction leads you to look towards Jesus. Condemnation leaves you to look at yourself and focus on self. Conviction is a blessing, where condemnation is a real burden. Satan loves us to remain in our guilt, and he loves to twist the knife to make us feel worse. What kind of negative messages do we have throughout your Christian walk? What are you carrying around as baggage? Look at these guys here. Have you ever seen a backpack that big? But how often are we like that?
For holiday
stuff. Yeah. I couldn't check that bag in, I had to do.
We fit in that little special holder.
No, no. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But what are the things that we carry around? What are you carrying around in your life? Unforgiveness? Something that's been said in the past which hurt you, which you hold on to? Pain? Bitterness? I never like that person. I'll just resign to the fact that I'll always dislike them. Regrets. Why did I do that in the past? How could I be like that? Surely I'm not a Christian if I do things like that. Hurt. They hurt me. I won't forget that. I'm going to hold on. Shame. low self-worth, hate, failure. I'm a failure. I've messed up so many times. Low self-esteem. What kind of things do you carry around with you which God wants to heal? I got this slide I found, and I think it's really good, and I've taken some copies of this and I've put them at the back if anyone wants to take away. You say, I can't figure it out. God says, I will direct your steps. And there's a Bible verse there as well. You say, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. It's impossible. God says, all things are impossible or possible. Nobody loves me. God says, I love you. I can't forgive myself, you say. God says, I forgive you. It's not worth it. It will be worth it, God says. I'm not smart enough, you say. I will give you wisdom, God promises. I'm not able, you say. God says, I am able. I can't go on. I can't do it. My grace is sufficient for you, and you can do all things, God says. I can't manage. I will supply all your needs, says God. But I'm afraid. I've not given you fear, says God. But I feel all alone. God promises I will never leave you. Some really good statements there to hold on to. I can't go a sermon without bringing my team into it. And it's rough at the moment. It's a bad January for Liverpool. But that comes into my sermon. The Liverpool song has great words to it. And I think, I'm not going to sing it because I clear the room. But just read through some of these words. You'll never walk alone. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. Don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and a sweet silver song of the lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone with God. He will always be with us to walk. God loves us. God loves you. And he will always take care of you. Let that sink deep into your soul, whatever you're suffering with, whatever you're struggling with. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, it says in Isaiah. Okay, I have a story which I wanted to share for many months, but every time I came to church, there was no 1 minute testimony. So I thought, okay, God, then maybe you don't want me to share it yet. So I've saved it till today. I do a lot of walking. I have a lovely dog, and we like to go out walking every day. And actually, it's the times where God speaks to me when I'm walking with the dog. So we were walking one day, and I had quite short on time, so I needed to get where I was going in quite a short space of time. And I was walking with the dog, and then I felt a very sharp pain in the sole of my foot. And I thought, what's that? There's something in my boot. And actually, what it was this tiny little stone. Minute little stone. You can hardly see how big it is. I shook my foot to move the stone to the side so I could continue walking. But my foot started to feel sore. And it was painful. So I decided to continue. I didn't want to deal with it. I just carried on walking with the dog. I tried to push it to the side, but yet that little stone came back in and it started poking and prodding and hurting even more, no matter how I ignored it. God said to me during that time, relate this stone to issues that come in your life. You can try to push them to one side, ignore them, and get on with your life, but they still cause pain. Why don't you stop? Let me remove that stone, then continue your walk with a spring in your step. And I thought at the time, that's quite powerful, because I think, how often do we go through life thinking we have this issue, but we can just continue. We don't deal with the issue. But yet, it's still painful. It's still there. We push it to the side and carry on, but it still causes us pain. And God wants to stop and to heal those issues. God says he wants to give life and life in all its fullness. Do I think Christian life will be without stones? No. Far from it. And there's a whole stack of stones, I'm sure, I need to deal with in my life. But what's in your boot? What's making you limp in your Christian walk? Is there something causing you pain? Something from your past years ago? I'd say acknowledge it. Talk to God. Get some prayer. And find a friend to come alongside you to help you with any change you need to make. God wants the best version of you. So that's a challenge for you on that. And some muddy boots. I spared you from bringing my muddy boots. They're not in a good shape. So we read this scripture earlier. I think it's a really positive scripture. God says, there was one thing here, where is it? Announce freedom to all captives, pardon to all prisoners. Heal the heartbroken. And there was one about giving... the roses bit. Give them a bouquet of roses instead of ashes. Whatever you think has been in the past, God can use that in the future to great uses. One second. So I think definitely you're not defined by your past. We're not defined by our past, we're prepared by it. So whatever you've gone through or going through, God will use in the future. So what I've got now is I've got a song which we're going to play in a minute. And this one, talking about Christian walk, it's called Abba, I Belong to You. Now there's no, Abba. Abba Father is the name of God. And from the Aramaic means daddy. So to me, that signifies a close, intimate relationship with your God. From a father to a child, childlike trust, daddy, Abba. And this song speaks about Abba and belonging to him. Here are some of the words. I'll read them, and then when you listen to the song, you can think about them as well. It says, you're more real than the ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the wind in my lungs. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. You're closer than skin on my bone. You're closer than the song on my tongue. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. So as we listen to this song, think about the things that I've shared and about your walk with God, things you may need to put right, however you need to respond. Just take some time during this song and then speak to God. He loves you. Okay. That's it for today, for me. If anything sparked anything in you that you think you'd like to have prayer for, there's always opportunity at the end of the service to come to the front where we'll have some people to pray with you to go through different situations. Or if you don't know that closeness from God, come and speak to us as well. We'll share how you can get that, which is freely available to everyone.